All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis 37. Genesis 37. And let's start reading, I think, in verse 5. We'll start in verse 5. I read the first five verses last week where we learned that that Jacob made Joseph, in verse 3, a coat of many colors. And I want you... I want you to hang on to that. I'm going to refer to that tonight. But then if you look at verse 5, of course, his brothers saw that his father favored him and they hated him for it. But then look at verse 5, and we'll continue reading about Joseph and pick up here where we left off last week. In verse 5, it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." So in verse 4, we learn that they hated him. And then in this first dream, we learn that they hated him the more because of his dream. And then in verse 9, it says, "And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the say. All right, I'm going to stop right there for right now. And we're going to continue our study through the Old Testament scriptures. And we're looking at the pictures of Christ as found in the Old Testament stories. The book of Genesis primarily tells us about where we came from, and it tells us why we are sinners like we are. It tells us the promise of a Redeemer to pay for the sin that we have committed. And then it tells us about how God destroyed the earth, except for one man, Noah and his family. And then it starts with Abraham and tells the story of how God chose through one man to make a nation and from that nation provide the Redeemer that he promised in the Garden of Eden when man sinned against him. So now we're all the way up to Joseph. We have Abraham in the 12th chapter, and then we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob, and we have looked at all the different ways that they portray and picture Christ. And now tonight we continue by looking at Joseph as a type of Christ. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll get right into this 37th chapter. Now, our Father, we ask your blessings upon us. I pray you'll Just help us to have ears to hear tonight. And may the Word of God make a difference in our lives. Help us to see Christ, and Father, to realize the shadows and the pictures, and to see the Lord Jesus in the lives of these patriarchs. And especially tonight, as we look at Joseph, I pray that you will bless us in a great way. May the Lord be honored in what we do, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, we started last week looking at the life of Joseph, and I want to basically just pick up where we left off last week. Joseph, as I mentioned to you last week, is one of the clearest, brightest types or pictures of Christ in all of the Bible. I read this week, as I was preparing the lesson for tonight, that most Bible scholars agree and have agreed through the years that there are at least 21 different ways in which Joseph pictures the Lord Jesus. Clear, precise ways where he is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. And remember now that with God, numbers are important. Numbers mean something. 7 is the number of perfection, and 3 is the number of completion. So 7 times 3 is 21. The 21 different ways in which Joseph is a clear picture of Christ. And I think what God is showing us is that Joseph, out of all of the Old Testament saints, is the complete and perfect picture of the Lord that is found in the Bible. Now, tonight I want us to pick up his story. And we saw last week where he was the youngest of his family and that his father favored him. You remember that he was the son of Rachel, and Rachel was the woman that he loved. You remember Rachel's daddy pulled the switcheroo on him, and he ended up marrying Rachel's older sister and then had to work 7 more years for Laban in order to get Rachel as a bride. And so Joseph was the son of Rachel, and so his favored wife. And so being an old man now, Rachel was unable to bear children for many years. And in her latter years, she bore him a child, and that child was Joseph. And so naturally, he favored that child. And that created friction among the 11 other sons. And so what happened here picks up in verse 5. And we see the hatred for Joseph continue. We see it grow. We see it expand. And the way it expanded was, we are told in verse 5 that Joseph dreamed a dream. He not only had one dream, he had 2 dreams. He had one in verse 5, he had one in verse 9. And I will show you the contrast the two in just a moment. But notice when he shared these dreams with his brothers, they were furious with him. They already despised the fact that he was favored by their father. And now he is getting these dreams from God. And in the dreams, he sees himself as exalted and his older brothers bowing themselves before him. In verse 8, they said to him, "What? Are you going to reign over us? You're going to reign over us. You are going to have dominion over us." We don't think so, Squirt. We don't think so. I mean, basically, that's what they're saying. And the rest of the verse tells us that they hated him yet the more for his dreams and because he had the nerve to tell them about it. Now, notice in this first one, Joseph saw his brothers as sheaves of wheat. And he saw the sheaves bowing down to him. Now, of course, this was a prophetic vision of what was soon, well, soon, relatively speaking, a few years would pass, but this was a prophetic vision of what would soon be fulfilled in Egypt. You know the rest of the story, I presume. You know that his brothers would come begging for wheat when down to Egypt, and unknowingly, Joseph was the head of the wheat distribution center, if you will, and they are bowing before their little brother, not knowing that it was their little brother. Their little brother knew that it was them. He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. And so they come before their little brother begging for mercy from his hand. Now in verse 9, there is a second dream. In verse 9, in this one, he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars. And he saw these, he saw these 11 stars making obeisance and bowing before him. And again, the reaction from everyone was that there was no way that this was going to happen. And it created the same feelings that the previous dream created. It caused his brethren to hate him. Now, hold your place right here for just a minute. And let's go over to the New Testament, to the book of John, fourth book in the New Testament, John chapter 5. So turn to John chapter 5 for just a moment, and let's see what John says about Christ. John 5 and verse 18. Well, let's go back and get 17. In verse 17, it says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more," does that sound familiar? Yes. "Sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Just like Joseph, Christ was hated because of who he claimed to be. The Lord Jesus said he was from God and that God was his Father, and he made himself equal with God. Look at chapter 8 of John, just a couple of chapters over. Look at John chapter 8 and let's begin reading. Let's see, look at verse 37. He said, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the" what?
Truth.
Truth. "A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In this verse, in this 40th verse, we learn that they hated him because of what he said. Just like Joseph's brothers hated him because of what he said. Jesus said, you hate me because I tell you the truth. Now, folks, if there is one thing that you need to see here, he had two separate dreams, two separate areas in which he saw basically the same thing happening. The first dream, notice in, going back to Genesis 37, in the first dream, you will notice in verse 7 that he saw sheaves of grain in the field bowing down to him and doing obeisance. So the first dream occurred on the earth. Now, we know that all through scriptures, the field is a picture of the world. So in this dream, the realm in which Joseph was dealing was the realm of earthly sovereignty. But the second dream was not on the earth. The second dream took place in the heavens. He saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. So we have in this one, the realm of sovereignty is in the heavens. All right? So you've got two different dreams here. Now, again, hold your place and go over to Philippians for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right, now there, right, that's the incarnation. That is God becoming flesh. That's Christ becoming flesh. That's Christ coming to the earth. All right? He came and he went to the cross. Now look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in Joseph, we see a picture of Christ. We see him having this dream where his brothers are bowing before him, and that signified through the sheaves on earth. But the second dream was a heaven, had the heavenlies involved, and here we see Christ coming to this earth, But then we see him highly exalted of God because he did what God said he would, said he was going to do. Now, folks, today, the Lord Jesus is hated. They're scorned, mocked. His name is used as a swear word. He is ridiculed. Men today hate our Lord with a passion. But the day is coming when all men will bow and confess that he is who he says he is. Now, that day is coming. And just as Joseph had these dreams, and just a few years later, there were his brothers standing right in front of him, bowing down, begging mercy from him. You mark it down. The world is going to one day bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They may not believe it now. They may laugh now. They may scorn now. But every knee shall bow. Amen. Now you think of that. That won't be a problem for you and me. Amen. All right? And you can read about it over in Revelation 4 and 5. When we get to heaven and we're standing around the throne, we're going to take our crowns and cast them at his feet and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Won't be a problem for us. But the Bible says every knee, every person is going to bow before the Lord. Every soul under those under the earth. In other words, everybody, even in hell, is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, it'll be too late for them. Right? I mean, it'll be too late, but they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I've said this before, and it always prompts the sweetest emails whenever I say this, but Madeline Murray O'Hare is a believer today. Amen. It's too late for her. She had her opportunity here while she was on earth. Voltaire, the French atheist who used to go out and stand in the courtyard and shake his fist at God and dare God to strike him with lightning. "Strike me down, I dare you." And then laugh as he walked away. Well, he's a believer today. Too late, but he's a believer today. Hell is filled with folks who on earth mocked and spent their lives trying to tear down and destroy the God of the Bible or the Bible or the Lord Jesus of the Bible. But today, they're believers. Too late. But they believe today what they would not believe when they lived on this earth. All right, now the next picture, let's go back. I want to go back to Genesis 37. I want you to notice the way that Joseph was treated by his brothers. All right, look please at verse 12. It says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel," that's Jacob, "and Israel said unto Joseph," remember, Jacob had his name changed when he had the wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. Remember that? And so here he's referred to by that name change, Prince with God. "And Israel," Prince with God, "said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And that's not in Alabama, all right? That's Israel. That's up in Samaria. Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now, let me stop right there. Dothan means, you ready for this? Dothan means the law. All right, write that down. That's going to come back and be important here in a few minutes. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in the law. Does that help you? When the Lord Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. All right? He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill it. And when he came, he found the Jews under the law. And when they saw him, verse 18, his brethren saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they, what's the next word? Conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. All right, so we read that his brothers were away with Jacob's great herds of sheep, and Jacob was greatly concerned about their welfare. So Joseph was sent to Shechem to find them, but they had moved on from Shechem to Dothan. And ironically, Dothan means law. And when they saw him coming towards them, they cried out, the dreamer cometh. So what did they do? Well, they conjured up a false plot to get rid of their little brother. They cast him into a pit without water. Look at verse 20. It says, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. Well, thank the Lord, Reuben was there. And Reuben heard their plot and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So they wanted to kill him, but Reuben talked them out of that venture. Now, folks, just stop and think about it. How wicked must their hearts have been that at least some of them could even consider killing their own flesh and blood? But then think about how could the Jews have wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, how wicked is the heart of man? Well, we're not read all of this. It'll take way much more time than what I've got tonight, but you keep your Bible open and follow down. While they were eating their lunch, a bunch of Ishmaelites came by, all right? And they sold their own brother to these total strangers for 20 pieces of silver. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, it is beyond me the depths to which the sinful heart can seek. And can you not see the pictures of Christ in the way Joseph was treated by his brethren? Look at verse 23. It says, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. All right? Sad. Very sad situation. But I want you to notice the similarities between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. It is brought up again here in verse 23 about the coat of many colors. I did a little checking on that this week and learned some more stuff about it. This coat that was given was, as I mentioned to you last week, it was given to a son when he reached manhood. And the Jews have been doing this recognition of manhood for millennia. They've been doing it for as long as anybody knows anything about it. They call it a bar mitzvah. Remember that? And if it's when the daughter reaches the teen years, they have a bat mitzvah, and they make a big to do out of it. Now, the son would be presented with a man's coat, an adult coat. All right, now hang on to that. He would be presented with an adult coat. Okay, now question. I'm winging it here, all right? 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the what?
Sons
of God. Okay? John 1:11-12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Isn't it amazing how all through the Old Testament or the New Testament scriptures, the Bible refers to us as believers as the sons of God, right? All right, now, take your Bible and go over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And to be honest with you, I'd like to read the whole chapter to you and just comment as I go, but I'm not going to do that. Look at let's start in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. All right, now stay with this thinking. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is it's a term of endearment. Abba, Papa, Daddy. All right. The Spirit, verse 16, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon... All right, so reckon, that's a good southern word, isn't it? For I reckon, I figure, I think, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, in other words, in our lives, anybody here suffering? Anybody, any of y'all having some physical issues? Yeah. Anybody have any emotional issues? Anybody have any stress issues? Oh, no, not this bunch. Everybody's perfect here, aren't they? Huh? All right. I reckon, Paul said, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be. So the glory is coming. The glory is not for now. And don't forget, right now we are the sons of God. We are children of God. You say, Pastor, where are you going? All right, wait a minute. Hang on. Don't forget now, we're talking about Joseph and this coat, and his daddy gave him an adult coat. His daddy gave him an adult coat. He's not a kid anymore. He's now grown up. And they have a bar mitzvah. They have a ceremony. They have a ritual. They have this big to-do. It's huge. And his daddy takes this little junior coat off of him and puts on an adult coat so that everybody who sees him knows he's a man now. He's not a little boy anymore. All right? So that's what, stay with me. For I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're waiting. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Why? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, now he's not reckoning anymore, he knows this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You say, Pastor, what's that mean? All right, watch. Watch. Is this you? Oh. Is this you? Oh. It is, isn't it? The whole creation moans and groans. Why? Because we're under this old curse. We're under this old curse of sin. There is not a perfect one among us. Not a one. Every one of us has aches and pains and hurts. All right? We know, verse 22. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. It's not just the unsaved. The whole creation moans and groans. I read, I don't know, maybe you know, maybe you were taught this, but I read somewhere years ago that every sound in nature is in the minor key. You ever hear that? Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know who to ask whether or not it's true. But it wasn't on the internet. I read this years ago. And it was I think it was old Dr. Henry Morris that where I read it. Dr. Henry Morris, if he said it, I believe it. That guy was a genius. But moans and groans. And not only they, but ourselves also, verse 23. Watch, we're almost there. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What's the adoption? To wit, the redemption of our body. Now, I've taught you before that when you get saved, God does not save your body. He saves your soul. And the body continues to grow old and get diseased and eventually die. And it's got aches and it's got pains and it moans and it groans and it creaks and it cracks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you with me? Everybody up, y'all with me up there? All right, now watch this. We're waiting for the adoption. I started looking up that word adoption. And in four or five different resources, it said adoption, i.e., that is, you ready? Yeah. Adulthood. We are waiting for the adulthood. Right now, we're sons. Right now, we're sons of God. And just like Joseph received from his father a coat of many colors that declared him an adult, the day is coming when we're going to lay aside these old bodies of clay, and all the moaning and the groaning, it's all going to be over, and we're going to see our Lord. All right, hold on. Go over here to 1 John real quick. 1 John, not St. John, 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 3. And look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the what?
Sons.
Sons. There it is again. And I've taught you before many, many times, but there's always new folks. That little phrase, what manner of? That little phrase, what manner of? When we use it, we mean what kind of. All right? We would say, what kind of love is this? All right? But when they used it in New Testament times, it didn't mean what kind of. It meant where does it come from? See the difference? And John is asking the question, where does love come from? That a pure and holy God could love a bunch of old sinners like us.
Right.
Where does that love come from? Doesn't come from around here anywhere. Doesn't come from around here anywhere. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now watch. Beloved, what's the next word?
Now.
Now. Right now. Right now. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And on that day, when that trumpet sounds and we are out of here, figuratively, picture, the picture is there. God is going to take off the son coat and he's going to put on the adult coat. We are waiting right now for the adoption, the adulthood of sons. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. And notice they stripped him. His brothers stripped him of his coat. I can't prove it. I really can't prove it. But let's go back to Genesis 37. I'm trying to get one more little thought in before I let you go. All right, let's, in verse 37:3, it says that Jacob made him a coat of many colors. All right, then in 37:23, it says that when Joseph was come, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And there was, the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Now, I cannot prove it, but I think that this garment was carefully sewn using several different shades, colors of lamb's wool to make the coat of many colors. Now, you know, we have all seen the advertisement that Sight and Sound does, and we've seen Joseph on TV, and it's always a red and a green and a yellow and a blue coat that Joseph has on. No, it was wool. It was made of lamb's wool. They were shepherds. And so he took great care in cutting and in stitching the skins so that it would have pieced together this garment. And I cannot prove it, but I think probably that it was one piece. And he would just put it over himself. I don't think it had buttons. I don't think it had a way to tie it. It was just one piece and it went over him. And I say that because they stripped him of it. Now, if you strip him of it, that means that you pull it off of him. They stripped him of his coat, of his garment. Now, the reason I say that is it would fit the picture. In John 19, verse 23 and 24, I do not think it mere coincidence that both Joseph, the type, and Jesus, the antitype, wore the distinguishing garment of a father's special love, a seamless garment. And so in Genesis, after they stripped Joseph, they cast him into the pit, and we read a very interesting assertion that was put there by Moses in verse 25 of chapter 37 when it says, and they sat down to eat bread. Man, while their brother was in the pit, the place of potential death, they were completely unconcerned and went right on eating their lunch. And it was the same with the ones that crucified our Lord. In Matthew 27:35 and 36, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. Now, folks, don't forget that the main subject of the Bible is Jesus Christ and the redemption that he provided for us. And what we find in this book is God showing us these Bible characters and in picture form revealing what Jesus did to provide us with that redemption as God's only begotten Son. Picture after picture after picture is revealed through this man's life. And that is what makes the rejection of Christ by the Jews so unbelievable. They had Abraham, they had Isaac, they had Jacob, they had Joseph. Folks, those Jews that were on the earth, when Christ was on the earth, those rabbis, those lawyers, those priests, every one of those men knew the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They knew their stories like the back of their hand. And how they could not see that Jesus was God's son is beyond me. But then I can't understand why the world today cannot see that he is God's son. And the answer to why is given in John, where we read a moment ago, where where Jesus said, you can't hear my word. The attack always goes back to the book. Every time. You cannot hear my word, Jesus said. I tell you the truth, and you cannot hear me. Man, how sad. And that's the way our world is today. Our world is the same. May God give us grace to hear and to understand his word. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll pick it up next week right there. And so mark your spot, and I'll mark my spot. We'll meet back and do it next week.